Ken Timmerman is our guy in Washington, D.C. He looks at geopolitical activities with us. And Ken, a potpourri of items that I want to talk to you about today. Let's start with this. The Iraqi security situation is really changing moment by moment. It looks like some of the Iraqi security forces are having to fight the militants, and this is not doing what everybody thought might happen. They would have a stability in this war-torn country as they came back into a position of actually being a country among the nations of the world. But the militants, the insurgents, are not going away, are they?
These are the terrorists of Al-Qaeda and their backers. And what we've seen happen, frankly, Jimmy, since the United States pulled out militarily from Iraq in 2011, there has been a steady upsurge in violence. We were, in effect, helping to keep the peace in Iraq at a relatively low cost. Once the surge was over, there were few American deaths, and Iraqi civilian deaths were dramatically down. Now what's happened in 2013, you've got civilian deaths that are up in Iraq to the same level that they were 4 years earlier, 5 years earlier, excuse me, before the surge. This is a dramatic downturn in the situation. It's a direct consequence of the U.S. disengagement from Iraq, and essentially Barack Obama has turned Iraq over to the Iranians, who are now fighting a sectarian war with the Sunnis, just as they were in 2007 before the surge.
Well, you say with the Iranians, and the Iranians are of the Shia segment of Muslim activities, with a lot of Sunnis. And in fact, Saddam Hussein was a part of the Sunni group when he was controlling that country. The Shias have what, about 60%, 65% of the total population of Iraq, so that makes it pretty easy prey as far as the Iranians are concerned.
Well, that's right, but on the other hand, a lot of Iraqi Shias don't particularly like the Iranians to begin with, because they're Persians, not Arabs. And so you have that ethnic and religious distinction that is driving the civil war as well. But here, in just recently, over the past week, two major Sunni cities that will be familiar to a lot of our American listeners, Fallujah and Ramadi, two cities where U.S. Marines and later other U.S. troops battled against Al-Qaeda and against Sunni military groups. These cities have now fallen out of government control. They are controlled once again by Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda-related groups. This is a dramatic downturn in the situation in Iraq. And this time, the difference from what we saw earlier in 2007 is that now Al-Qaeda and their allies are equipped with U.S. weapons.
Wow, that's going to be a tough situation. Let's look at the South Sudan. Now, explain just briefly, if you will, what happened to the Sudan, why there is a state called South Sudan. The fighting's been going on. It's somewhat of a civil war. They're trying to get talks underway, peace talks, over in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. What's the situation there?
It's pretty confusing, I've got to say. Southern Sudan, or South Sudan, was created 2 years ago when, after a very long civil war with the Muslim North, the South is predominantly Christian, animist as well, but predominantly Christian. And yet it is also split along ethnic lines. And this is what is driving the conflict today. It's this ethnic battle between the two major groups, the Dinka and another tribe. It's pretty brutal, Jimmy. I mean, there are thousands of people who've been murdered. There's, you know, something like 200,000 refugees, internally displaced people. They're frantically trying to get across the Nile River to safety from the main city, which is under attack. I've got to admit, I do not have a clear view at all how these peace talks in Addis Ababa are going to go in Ethiopia. You know, ethnic conflicts are very hard to predict. They get very violent and very vicious and very brutal very quickly, and the casualties mount literally overnight.
We'll need to stay on top of the story, and I, like you, am pretty much confused about the whole situation. Who the players even are sometimes is confusing. Well, Vladimir Putin, after there were two terrorist attacks in Russia, has put out a order. Now, I'm not sure on the validity of this report, But I understand that there's a possibility, Putin has said, Saudi Arabia needs to be destroyed after these terrorist attacks. In other words, he's threatening those in Saudi Arabia, take care of those terrorists that come in here into Russia and causing me problems.
Well, I think what's certainly clear is that Putin is extremely concerned that his Olympics next month in Sochi are going to be disturbed by terrorist attacks caused by al-Qaeda and Chechen groups that are allied with al-Qaeda, and he's very upset that the Saudi government appears to be supporting some of those groups. There have been two secret missions to Russia that are no longer secret because the Russians have revealed them by the Saudi intelligence minister, Prince bin Sultan, who's the former Saudi ambassador to the United States. And from some of the reports we're getting from Russian media and Russian blogs, they would suggest that Putin was personally very upset with Prince Bandar and has made all kinds of threats to him if there are additional terrorist attacks. I don't know, as you mentioned earlier, you know, it's unclear how valid some of these blog reports and some of these reports from Russian, you know, RT television and the pro-Kremlin controlled media are. But it is clear that Putin is upset, that the head of internal security, Bortnikov, is very upset. They're taking extraordinary measures to make sure that there are not additional terrorist attacks, especially in Sochi, to disturb the Olympics. And they're turning their eyes towards Saudi Arabia as a potential source of those terrorist attacks.
And that probably is a good focus because a lot of terroristic activity coming out of there, i.e., 9/11 several years ago in the United States. What about Egypt, Ken? The Egyptians are calling the Muslim Brotherhood terrorist, a terrorist organization. Muslim Brotherhood has gone underground. Now the Egyptian leadership calling for all Arab countries to blacklist the Muslim Brotherhood. I don't think they're going to go away, are they?
Well, this is quite an extraordinary turnaround, Jimmy. Just 6 months ago, the Muslim Brotherhood was in power in Egypt. And so now you have the Egyptian government not only outlawing the Muslim Brotherhood, not only jailing the leader, the former president, Mohamed Morsi, and al-Badieh, the spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, but now calling on fellow Arab states to declare them a terrorist organization as well. This is a very dramatic turnaround. I personally believe this is a positive development in Egypt and in the Middle East. But again, there's still many countries that support the Muslim Brotherhood. Turkey is one. Erdogan in Turkey, Tayyip Recep Erdogan, is still supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. The Saudis are supporting Muslim Brotherhood-related groups in Syria. So there is a cleavage inside the Muslim world. But I think this is a very positive thing, and I think that the Egyptians are going to get some traction with especially their more moderate neighbors, Jordan, and some of the North African countries as well.
And later this month, there's going to be a vote on a new constitution in Egypt. But meanwhile, the United States is pressuring the Egyptian military not to back al-Sisi, who is the head of the Egyptian military, for president of Egypt. I mean, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I think what's, again, very interesting in this is that the United States has gotten no traction in its efforts to enlist Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and the United Arab Emirates, these three Gulf countries, to put pressure on the Egyptians not to allow al-Sisi to be a presidential candidate in the upcoming elections. The Gulf countries essentially told the United States, forget it, we're not going to carry water for you on this. We like al-Sisi. And for the United States to be rebuffed in such a way by countries which normally are our allies in the region, I think shows, again, as you and I have discussed in recent weeks, the diminishing influence and power of the United States in the Middle East and you know, throughout the world.
That is going to continue, I think, to be the case. Because of the fact that the Middle Eastern policy of the Obama administration doesn't seem to be set in stone in any way, shape, or form. They go whatever way the wind blows. Well, maybe that's the reason that there is no more a respect for the United States in the Middle East. Ken Timmerman, the man who covers geopolitical activities for us right here on Prophecy Today. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk next week.
Well, thanks, Jimmy. I look forward to it. And have a look at my story at the Washington Times today on Benghazi, because there are new developments there as well.